as the disciples were watching the incredible prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, they got moved. They said, Lord, we want to pray like you do. We want to touch God like you do. Teach us to pray. And he responded with what we call the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? It's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's your prayer. The Lord gave it to you, and he gave it to me.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message titled, Teach Us to Pray. In this message, Pastor Jeff will indicate four key areas of the Lord's Prayer that can help believers to pray structurally and effectively. This is sure to be a life-changing study, so stay tuned. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Our Lord Jesus was a master prayer. Nobody could pray like he did. One day, after watching him pray, the disciples requested of him, "Teach us to pray." Well, Jesus answered their request with what we know as the Lord's Prayer. But it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer he gave us to pray. It's a masterpiece that covers every need you and I will ever have. We're going to pull the highlights from it today in a way that I know will enrich your prayer life. I can't wait to share this timely word on prayer, so let's get started. If you can grab your Bible, do so and follow along as I share the message, Teach Us to Pray, from our series, A Call to Prayer. And you know, when you start tracking Jesus, just follow his footsteps through the Gospels, we find that Jesus was a praying Savior. He's a praying Savior. He modeled prayer. Matter of fact, he modeled prayer so well that one day his disciples looked at him and said, Lord, we've been watching you. We've been watching the way you pray. We've been hearing you and the way you connect with God. And they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus did. And he gave the Lord's Prayer. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. And how many of you want to say to Jesus with the disciples, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Amen. So I'm going to read two of the different Gospels, one verse out of Luke 11 and verse 1, and then I'm going to read Matthew 6, 9 to 13. And let's just go through that little drama of when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray and what he responded with. And let's read it. Now here's Luke 11, 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. Now, Jesus' more complete response is in Matthew. And Matthew 6, 9 begins, This then, Jesus said, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We ought to read this together. We all know this. Let's read it together, can we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, let's lift our hands, say, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice the Lord's Prayer begins with praise and ends with praise. Amen. Now, as I said, that our Lord Jesus was a praying Savior. And I just looked at a couple of the situations I found him praying in as I went through the Gospels. Jesus prayed regularly after long days of hard labor in the ministry, constant labor. Dawn to dusk, after he had been all day just giving everything he had, he would still pray. The Bible says, following one long day of dawn to dusk ministry, Jesus grabbed just a little bit of sleep. And then it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place, what he called the secret place, where he prayed. He prayed. It was more important to him to pray than to sleep. He prayed before making big decisions, very important. It says that on the night before choosing his first disciples, quote, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And then the next morning, we find him walking along the seashore saying to Peter, follow me. Andrew, follow me. James and John, follow me. But he didn't pick his men. He didn't pick his key men, his future world shakers, until he had prayed all night long. It's wise, church, to pray before you make any major decision. Say, God, lead me. God, direct me. I find that Jesus prayed before his great, mighty, powerful, defining moment experiences with God. One example is before he was water baptized. It says, as he was praying, when he was down in the water, he walked down to John the Baptist in the water, and it says, as he was praying, that's when the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And the voice spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What preceded that? Prayer. What preceded a mighty experience with God? Prayer. Same thing on the Mount of Transfiguration. He climbs the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and it says, as he was praying, his face shined like the sun, and the mighty transfiguration happened. Suddenly, there's Moses and Elijah. All of that was preceded by prayer. Prayer. Do you need a new experience with God, a powerful experience with God? Then do what Jesus did. Go into prayer. Prayer precedes power. Amen. Now, as the disciples were watching the incredible prayer life, the animated prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, they got moved. They said, Lord, we want to pray like that. We want to pray like you do. We want to touch God like you do. Teach us to pray. And he responded with what we call the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? It's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's your prayer. The Lord gave it to you, and he gave it to me. But we call it the Lord's Prayer. Now, he didn't give us the Lord's Prayer to just kind of mindlessly recite it, thinking that if we recite it, it does something. But he gave us the Lord's Prayer so that we could understand the contents and pray it earnestly from our heart and not just mindless recitation. So I want to break it down, and I'm going to show you this prayer, this model prayer, is an amazing prayer because it covers every point in life where you could possibly have a need. It covers everything. It touches everything. It hits five areas, and here they are. Say them with me. Purpose, praise, provision, pardon, and protection. Let's try that again because I had like 10 of you following me there. You ought to know me by now. I'm going to make you redo it if you don't go along with me, so here we go. Ready? Do it again. Purpose, praise, provision, pardon, protection. Now, that's easy to remember. Five P's. Easy to remember. So let's unpack it. Let's break it down and see what Jesus... Now, he didn't say you've got to pray this every time you pray. But he said a good prayer time, a productive prayer time, should consist of these things. All right? So first he says praise. Praise is the very first thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Wow. Now, I want to just point out before I go into the praise part, how he pictures, how he places prayer in a child-father context. He says, you're not just praying to some indefinable, uncaring, maybe even angry or distant God who's hard to touch and hard to get to know. But he said, I want you to go to him as your father, our father, my father, your father. So it might even be good if we started out and said, my father in heaven, my father in heaven. What is the first thing the Holy Ghost wants you to say when you're saved and born again? What is that phrase? Abba, Father. We don't have a mean, distant God in heaven. We have a father, a father. And so this makes prayer immediately relational, personal. Intimate. It's intimate. It's special. Loving. I'm going to a father, my father. I love the way that Jesus framed this because it takes all the fear away. We're going to a father, Abba Father. And we're asking our Father to help us. Jesus said in another place, if you hard-hearted, sinful men know how to give good gifts to your children, won't your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? And in Luke's gospel, he says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So Jesus, over and over again, taught us to look at God as our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Can we just lift our hands a minute and say, Lord, you're my Father. You're my Father. You're my Father. Can we give him a hand of praise today? He's our Father. So we know that a good father, a decent father, wants to take care of his children. And that's how we're to view God when we pray. So immediately, Jesus puts it in that context. All right, you want to know how to pray? Here's how to pray. First thing you do, look at God as your Father. He's your Father, and you're his child. Now, the second half of the verse is the praise part. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed is a praise word. It means holy, special, sacred, set apart from all other names. You know, we sing the song, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search the whole world wide or whatever. I can't think of all the words right now. But I would find there is none like you. That's what hallowed means. Lord, there is no one, no God, none like you. It's praise. You stand alone in the universe as Father God. There is nobody worthy of my praise but you. And so notice how Jesus has us entering the place of prayer. You're my Father, so I see you as my providing, helping, loving, caring Father, but I'm also going to enter into the place of prayer with praise. I'm going to praise you right off the bat. I'm going to enter the place of prayer with praise. Now, why begin with praise? Well, here's why. Because praise is the doorway into God's presence. How many of you love the presence of God? Don't you love the presence of God? I think that's going to be the worst thing about hell. The worst thing about hell is there is not one scintilla of the presence of God. But heaven, you're going to be swallowed up in the presence of God. So when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, that's what the psalm says. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. That's a psalm all about entering into the presence of God. You enter his presence with thanksgiving. You enter his presence with praise. And then look how he ends it. Be thankful to him and bless his what? Name. Hallowed be thy what? Name. So we bless his name. So Jesus has us entering prayer in a powerful, leveraged position. We see God as our providing Father, and we're entering his gates with praise. And as we praise him, guess who visits our prayer time? He inhabits the what of his people, praise of his people. Last night when I got down on my knees to pray over these services, I had just studied this, and so I just lifted my hands. And I said, Lord, I'm just praising you. I praise you that you're a prayer answering God. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you for your grace. I praise you that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I praise you, Lord, for all the good things you have done. I praise you for all the times you have protected me. I praise you for this and that and the other. And I started praising him. And before I knew it, whoosh, the presence of God was there. Amen. So Jesus knew exactly, of course, without saying what he was doing. He said, look at him as your Father as you enter the place of prayer, and then praise him. And as you praise him and his presence falls, it greases the skids, it sets the stage, it sets the table for what is about to follow. Amen. So everybody say praise. Now the next part of the prayer is purpose. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now notice the first two parts of the Lord's Prayer are all about God. They're vertical. The last three parts are all about us getting our needs met. They're horizontal. But the first two parts are vertical. We are focused Godward. Hallowed be your name. That's praise. Your kingdom come. That's your purpose. So in this second part, Jesus is telling us, if you're a child of mine, if you're walking with me, you've been born again, you know me personally, you love me, then let me tell you what your highest purpose is. It's the kingdom of God, the advancement of the kingdom of God. When I go into prayer, it's first not about me, it's about him. It's about him. It's about him. Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. I'm all about kingdom work. I'm all about the kingdom of God. Now listen very carefully to me. No matter what you do vocationally, career-wise, to make a living, pay the bills, fulfill your ambitions. You should ultimately, and so should I, be all about ultimately advancing the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Lord, I want to see your kingdom advanced in the world. I want to see the devil defeated and Jesus glorified. I want to see chains snap. I want to see the lost saved. I want to see people encounter the love of God. I want the kingdom of God to advance. I want satanic assignments to be canceled. I want to see the devil lose ground. I want to see God gain ground. I want to see the kingdom of God advanced. Thy kingdom come. Can we say it together? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, witnessing to others, spreading the word, loving others in his name, doing good works in his name, serving as lights of the world, salt of the earth. Lord, I want your kingdom advanced in my life. I want to be a kingdom man, a kingdom woman. Cindy and I yesterday were out running around and we decided to go into In-N-Out Burger. I smelled it going by and I did a U-E. No. And we get this In-N-Out, we drive through, and I have read about the owner of In-N-Out Burger. Here's a shameless plug for In-N-Out Burger. But I've read about the owner of the In-N-Out Burger, read her testimony. It's a family business, and now it has just exploded all over the country and probably different parts of the world. But she's a sold-out, committed Christian, and so she decided, well, you know what? I'm a businesswoman, and here I have In-N-Out Burger. What can I do? And she started putting Bible verses on every cup. So I'm getting this. I think I had a 7-Up. I got a 7-Up. And I looked at the bottom of the cup, John 3:16. I turned to Cindy, and I said, how many millions of people? Because she decided to do that. How many millions of people have read John 3:16? See, what she did was, I'm a businesswoman, but I'm a child of God, and that means I'm all about kingdom business. So whatever I do as a business, I'm going to get the kingdom into it, and I'm going to testify to my Savior. And so she used her business to thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many people, college students all over the country, I mean, young and old, have looked and said, oh, John 3:16, and looked it up. And different verses will also be there, not just that one, but they testify to the kingdom of God. So what he's telling us here is, no matter what you do, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your degree is in or what you do vocationally, make the kingdom of God your ultimate thing. I'm about the kingdom of God. Now, yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I am. But before I was in full-time ministry, I still made everything I did about the kingdom of God. I'm about the kingdom of God. I don't want to see this world's ideas and plans and schemes and sin advanced. I want to see the kingdom of God advanced. Amen? Come on, everybody. So say with me, praise, purpose. Now let's say together, my purpose is the kingdom of God. Amen. Isn't it good to have a purpose in life? Amen. Now, Jesus takes the prayer from all about God, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, and now he's going to take care of us. Next thing he says to pray for is provision. Give us today our daily bread. Now, in the original language, it can read this way. Give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day. He's teaching an attitude here, and catch this, of daily dependence on God. You know, the older I get, the more I go on in God, the more dependent I feel on him. What's that old song, Learning to Lean? Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. Amen? You'll find, what did Jesus say? He said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. What does a branch do? Hangs around. A branch just hangs, right? Just hangs around. What is it hanging on? A vine. So it's abiding in the vine. Any branch that produces good fruit is well connected to the vine and abides in that vine 24/7, and whatever is in the vine comes into the branch. Now the Bible says here, Jesus says, I want you to every single day depend on me. Depend on God. You say, well, Pastor, I got a lot of money. It's hard for me to do that. Let me help you here. You wouldn't be breathing if he didn't give you breath today. You say, I don't really need daily provision. Oh, really? You need daily breath. You need daily sight. You need the ability to walk every day, get up every day, go do what you do every day, think every day. And all of that comes from God. My times are in your hands, David said. My times are in your hands. So no matter what you do, you can be a billionaire. You're still dependent on him, dependent for life, dependent on him for victory, dependent on him for fruit bearing, dependent on him for salvation, dependent on him for freedom and deliverance. It's the very same lesson that God was trying to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness. God told Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are going to go out every day and gather, watch this, enough for that day. Enough for that day. So everybody say daily. We read that there wasn't enough for the next day. It wasn't there. And they couldn't eat yesterday's manna because it had a 24-hour shelf life and went bad after 24 hours. So what was God teaching them? I want you to every day depend on me. When you get up and you open the flaps to that tent and you look out there, I want you to depend on me, your Father, your God, that I've got manna on the ground waiting for you. And every day when they went and gathered it, they were learning to daily lean, learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean. Israel learned to trust God day by day for their provision, just like Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. And you know, Jesus continually reassures us in the Bible, in all of his teachings, that God is so willing to take care of your needs. He's so willing. Jesus said, don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. But your Heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them. And he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. Now that's a conditional promise. If you make him first, he's going to take care of you. If you make him first, he is going to take care of you. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. You put him first in your life, you get up and it's all about Jesus. And you say, Lord, I'm seeking you. You get into that word. You get into prayer. You say, Lord, I want to follow you today. Guide my steps. Direct my way. Direct my path. Make a way where there is no way. Help me to glorify you today. If you do that, then he's looking down on you and he says, I'm going to take care of you. So he says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live, read it with me. Live how? Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Another song. I got songs on my mind today. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus. One day at a time. Amen? So everybody say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So every day we depend on him. Give me today, Lord, my daily bread. And I think that's more than just the money to pay the bills. I think we can pray this way. Give me the money I need to pay my bills. But Lord, give me the strength to weather the storms. Give me the word I need from your Holy Bible to build my faith. Give me the joy I need to rejoice my heart. Give me the right kind of friends so that I can go up instead of down. Lord, today, give me today what I need for sustenance to survive and thrive and grow in this dark and wicked world. Lord, today, give me my daily bread. And he says, I'll give it to you. So everybody say, praise. Purpose, provision. And the next prayer is pardon. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, this part of the Lord's Prayer is powerful. Oh, folks, how we need this. Because look, he's making sure that every single day our conscience is clear.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of the message titled, Teach Us to Pray, in this life-changing series, A Call to Prayer. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.